Well, let's begin by rising and starting with our first hymn.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have regard for the covenant, O Lord.
Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame.
Arise, O God, defend your cause.
Do not forget the clamor of your foes.
O God, why do you cast us off forever?
Why does your anger smoke against the shoes of your pestilence?
Remember your congregation,
which you have purchased of old,
which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt.
Do not forget the life of your poor forever. One God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Questions 25 and 26 from the Catechism. Why does God not want us to have other gods besides Him? As our Creator and the only true God, God loves us and knows that only He can provide us with all that we need for time and eternity. Isaiah 42. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Matthew 4. Jesus said, I shall have the Lord, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Romans 1. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. 1 Corinthians 8. We know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. Question 26, what does God require of us in the first commandment? We should fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is written in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning with verse 8. The children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters. And they also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. A prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand, but you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female servants? Are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Now hear me. Therefore, in return to captives whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. And some of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshelutham, Jezekiah, the son of Shalom, and Amazshu, the son of Hadli, stood up against those who came from war, and said to them, you shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the leaders and all the assembly. Then the men who were designated by the name rose up and took the captives, and from the spoil of them clothed all them that were naked among them, dressed them and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them. And they all fell feeble and let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual that's printed in your bulletin. You are the God who works wonders.
You have made known your might among the peoples.
You with your arm redeemed your people.
The children of Jacob and Joseph.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, the third chapter, beginning with verse 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seed as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed by God in Christ. That is, should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. For what purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been the law. But the scripture has confined all sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia in the verse. Alleluia,
Hallelujah. O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. And said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the 3rd day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, precious, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Venus, eternal life by a promise, not by the law, based on our gospel reading, verse 25. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So the wise man and the understanding lawyer asks, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in his question, he claims the answer to the greatest debate concerning Scripture. Does one inherit eternal life by works of the law, or by grace through the promise? You see, the lawyer presumes that one earns eternal life by works of the law. Dear saints in Christ, of course he is wrong. Scripture does not teach that a person inherits eternal life by his own works, but by grace according to the promise of Christ Jesus, the offspring of Abraham. This promise is to be received by faith. St. Paul told you in this morning's epistle reading, for the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. You see, Scripture has always taught that this inheritance comes according to the promise. In fact, when Israel was about to enter the promised land, God made sure to let them know that they were not receiving this inheritance because of their own righteousness, but for the sake of his promise to Abraham. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into possess this land. God says to his people in Deuteronomy, not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going to possess this land, but because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and you that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You know, Scripture makes it very clear that the inheritance of eternal life comes by promise and not by works of the law. But the wise lawyer is blind to this. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Christians in Rome, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see, the lawyer isn't interested in the promise. He asks what he should do. Jesus asks him, what is the law? And the lawyer answers correctly, love. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this, and you shall live. Indeed, this is the same answer that Moses gives. Do the commandments and live by them. St. Paul points out the problem here. For all who rely upon works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them. So now this lawyer is caught. If he wants to inherit eternal life by works of the law, he must obey the law perfectly. So then he tries to justify himself by softening the law a little bit. And he asks, who is my neighbor? Now why does he ask that? Well, he figures he's got the loving God thing all down. I mean, who doesn't love God? But his neighbor? Oh, that's tough. Surely the law doesn't mean everybody. Perhaps if Jesus would just narrow it down a little bit to a few people that he needs to love, then he can work on that and earn his inheritance. course, this mentality shows that he doesn't really love God. He just wants to do what he needs to do and no more to earn eternal life. And by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" he is really asking, "Whom do I not need to love? Whom can I still hate? Can I still hate the tax collectors, Samaritans, and sinners?" So Jesus tells him a story, one that you're all very familiar with. A man going down to Jerusalem gets beat up, robbed, and left half dead. A priest and a Levite both come by and see him. And then they walk on the other side. Jesus picks the priest and the Levite because they are known to work in the temple, serving God. That's what they do. Serve God literally for a living. Now, if anyone would love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, it should certainly be this priest and Levite. But these men don't help the poor beat up man. They show no love at all. St. John's words should be ringing in all of your ears about right now. Now, if anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You love God by loving your neighbor. Well, then, who's your neighbor? Well, whom did Jesus die for? Did he not die for all people? Does God not desire all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? You are to love everyone for whom Jesus shed his blood. That includes everyone who's ever done you wrong, everyone who's cursed you, everyone who slandered your name behind your back, and everyone who has done evil against you. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Be more patient than they would expect. Be more willing to forgive than they are to repent. Be quicker to help than they are to ask. Now, this does not mean that as long as you show compassion on your neighbor, that you love God. Even if you ignore his word and never pray to him and praise him, rather, your service to your neighbor should reflect your praise and trust in God. One could argue that the priest and the Levite didn't hate that man. They didn't beat him up. They didn't rob him. Meaning make this the defense with God, that I don't hate God. I just don't want to listen to anything he has to say, or to sing his praises to him, or receive Christ's body and blood, or be gathered with God's people. No, I don't hate God. Well, yes, you do. If you refuse to hear God's word, you hate his word. If you don't show love toward God, you hate God. And it's the same way with your neighbor. If you see someone lying on the side of the road, beat up and naked, well, what would you want someone to do for you in such a situation? Just walk on by and hope that someone else helps? Pray to God that he will send someone upon this poor man's path who will help him? But not me. The priest and the Levite, they were murderers. Sure, they physically didn't beat up this man, but neither did they help him in his physical need. So are you a murderer? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you put yourself in others' shoes before you refuse to help them? Do you love your God? Sure you do, but with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Well, perhaps that would be going a bit too far to say,
And so you see the futility in trying to earn your inheritance by the law. If you want to earn eternal life by the law, you must keep the law perfectly in all its parts. So then the law doesn't give life after all. Rather, it proves to give you death. Romans 7 says it condemns you. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scriptures imprison everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. The law to love God and your neighbor does not contradict the gospel. The law is good. You should certainly love God and serve your neighbor. There is no fault in God's law. But the law doesn't give you life. Rather, it imprisons you, catching you in your sin. The law destroys your delusion that you could earn your own inheritance. It leaves you with no other choice than to repent of your sins and believe the promise. It's the promise spoken to Abraham through his offspring, Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of the Father. He is the promise fulfilled. He fulfills this all for you. He dies in your stead. His works become your works, and your guilt becomes his guilt. It is a wondrous exchange that does not depend upon the law, but depends upon God's promise. The Samaritan helped this poor man. He poured wine and oil on his wounds to kill the germs and to protect against infection. He carried the man on his own animal so that he himself had to walk. He used his own money to give to pay for the man's safe lodging. This good Samaritan is Jesus. He is your neighbor. He did for you beyond what you would have done for him. He did for you what you would be ashamed to ask him to do. He takes your guilt for failing to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. He takes your guilt for failing to love your neighbor as yourself. He takes your hatred for God and your neighbor, and he bears God's righteous wrath for it on his own flesh and on his own soul. Jesus pays for all of your expenses. So then what must you do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus did it all for you. He became your brother by being incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. He didn't need your help there. Jesus fulfilled God's law without your aid. And he died for you and reconciled you to God without your counsel. He did this according to God's promise so that God could give you free inheritance. You do not receive this because of your own works. You receive this only through faith in God's promise to you. If you understand Jesus as your good Samaritan, and that your inheritance is a gift, not to be won by your works, then you can go and do likewise. You can serve your neighbor without fear that you'll fail. You won't need to try to figure out who your neighbor is. Rather, you can show Jesus' love to whomever God presents to you. Your grandma, your grandpa, your father, your mother, son, daughter, employer, employee, or even a stranger. Your saints in Christ. What must you do to inherit eternal life? What a foolish question. Because Jesus has done it all for you. You are God's own child through the waters of baptism and faith. You do not earn your own inheritance.
It is given to you by your loving Father. Amen. All the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Father, as we have received the love of Jesus, our Good Samaritan, enable us by your Spirit to reach out in love and compassion to others. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you gave the old covenant through the angels to train Israel in your law. Bless the ministers of your new covenant to proclaim forgiveness, life and salvation to all nations in the stead and by the command of Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, lead your people in your steadfast love. Guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes. Be the companion of those who live alone. Make our households places where your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant health and wisdom to those in authority, that they may carry out their duties according to your will. Enable them to protect us from violence and evil and to maintain peace and righteousness. Let our land be filled with citizens who love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and who love their neighbors as themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Isaac and Darlene continually by your word and spirit.
that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, wherever the wicked strip and wound, wherever the devil seeks our fall, you are with us with your healing grace to endure. Soothe and lift up Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the family of Tim Shard, the Langton family, the Leslie family, and baby Belinda, and all that are in need. Carry them to find rest in you, Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you choose what is foolish to shame the wise. Set aside all our objections to your kindness in your Holy Supper, and prepare the hearts of those who commune to receive your Son's very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. O God, Father of us all, turn the hearts of Christian brothers to brother, that those who fall into sin would be brought to repentance and not be rebuked beyond measure, but rather be restored to the communion of the faithful. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have granted us to live in this accepted time when we may hear the Holy Gospel, know your fatherly will, and behold your Son, Jesus Christ. We implore you, most merciful Father, let the light of your word remain with us, and so govern our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may never forsake your word, but remain steadfast in it, and finally obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
And drink the holy blood for you.
our sake he died upon the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, keep in your baptismal grace. Take, drink. This is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sin.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat the body of Christ. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The body of Christ, given to death for your sin.
Thank you.
by this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee.
The Lord lifts up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.